this next phrase that Jesus says was just mind-blowing. Everybody's yelling. Jesus, in his voice, gets everybody's attention. He stands up in the midst of all the people. And all of a sudden, all the attention is turned from these candelabras, and everybody looks right at Jesus. And he stands in their midst, and a hush goes over the crowd, and he says these words, "I am the light of the world." He says, "Whoever will believe in me will have the light of life, and there will be no darkness in them." I mean, the religious leaders at this point are basically foaming at the mouth trying to get a hold of Jesus. You see, this candelabras that go up over the walls, the whole purpose of it is to symbolize God's law and his truth amongst his people. You see, in our Jewish understanding, we use the word light to communicate God's law. One of our ancestors, David, wrote some beautiful words in relationship to the laws of God being a light. And he said that God's word would be a light to our path. You see, it's God's law that helps us know right from wrong. It teaches us where to go. It's the thing that illuminates our world. But you see, lately things have been really messed up. These laws that we're trying to keep, God says he gave them for our benefit. But the religious leaders today don't seem to understand this. They use these laws against us. Now, there's a lot of them, 614 to be exact. And out of all these laws that we try to keep, the religious leaders always try to find ways that we're breaking the laws. And they're able to hold this over our head. And we always feel condemned. We always feel like we're always doing something wrong. Well, you know, God knew this at the beginning as well, that keeping his law was going to be difficult. So we have this sacrificial system. God's word tells us that sin is paid for by death. And so when I miss the mark, when I don't keep the law like I'm supposed to, death is the result. So we have a sacrificial system in which we sacrifice animals and an animal dies in our place. So that it's not our life that's lost, but the life of the animal. The religious leaders don't always see it that way. I mean, they surely believe that, but they condemn us along the way. They act like they're the perfect ones, like they never break the law. And they hold it over us as if we're always breaking the law. And they're on Jesus all the time about this. They're always saying that he's breaking the law. But when Jesus stood up amongst the people who these religious leaders are already upset at him, and he says that I am the light of the world, you have to understand what the man is saying. He's saying that he's the law. That the law is in him. And that if we follow him, that it's through following him that it will illuminate our way. And that it's in him that the darkness is cast out. You see, Jesus came to abolish the law as we understand it, the 614 laws. And it's in him that we find hope and truth. So it's been a rough few days. Things have really changed. It wasn't too long ago Jesus was kind of the superstar. Everywhere we went, everyone was following him around, everyone wanted to see his miracles. And I mean, people still want to see that. But the tone has changed. There are people who are out there looking to do Jesus in. They're looking to trip him up. Honestly, I fear for him. I don't know what these next months hold for him. But if he keeps going the way he's going, I can't imagine the pressure not turning up even more. These guys want to get rid of Jesus. His message is so different. His message is so unique. He's not trying to condemn other people. He talks about love and loving other people. Just about the time he called me and my brother, he gave this this message on this little hill. Some people have been calling it the Sermon on the Mount. I think Matthew's going to write down some of the words of that sermon. But he started to talk about the various things that were taking place. He was talking about how Jesus would say, that to not commit murder doesn't mean just don't kill someone. But he started to talk about if you hate someone in your heart, it's the same as committing murder. And these religious leaders that say that they keep the law, all of a sudden it's been revealed that they don't keep the law. At least interpreted the way Jesus interprets it. Following Jesus is kind of a mixed bag. It's not safe, that's for sure. Nowadays, it seems like people either love him or hate him. I've made up my mind. How about you?
Broken down, and I.
Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. When we talk about this idea of the light and what the light is, there's a couple things I think we need to make in progression to fully grasp what Jesus is trying to tell us here. Every one of us have a list of things that we try to do or not do, thinking that if we do them, we'll be seen in God's eyes as okay. Right? Now, many of these things that maybe is on our list of do's and don'ts are good things to have on our do's and don'ts. All right? But see, that's the same problem that Jesus was confronting. Is people had their list of do's and don'ts. And the thought was, if I can keep this list of do's and don'ts, I'm going to be okay in God's eyes. It's called the law. But the problem is that as you and I try to keep the law, whatever that list might be, we're going to blow it. I mean, if you don't think that you've blown it, either A, you got a really bad list, or B, you're just not honest, which is breaking one at least on my list. Be an honest person. Tell the truth. And every time you break the law condemns you and tells you that you are not worthy, that you are not okay in God's eyes, and that He doesn't accept you. Keeping the law is a tough gig. And all you have to do is break it one time. And it's as if you've broken it all. So when Jesus came and said that He's the light, that He's the law, He's the truth, He is the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When He came and said that, He's telling us that if we follow Him and trust in Him, which ultimately was His death, His sacrifice, His resurrection, that He said He would offer us life eternal. And the light of Christ would be within us. The truth of Christ. That He is the fulfillment of the law. And that through Him the law is fulfilled. No longer do we have to worry about the 614 laws. But that gets our minds all messed up because we are so used to cause and effect. We're so used to that we have to do something to earn something. Very rarely do we get a paycheck for not working, right? I mean, maybe if you're on vacation, but you earned that vacation. But try to go on vacation longer than the time that you were allotted for vacation. You might get fired. You certainly won't get paid. And for us to think that God would accept us and we don't have to actually do something to earn that is just against our cultural understanding. Just the kind of what we think the law of the land is. And so what we do is, even when we come to faith in Christ, we still hang on to the law. And we still say, it's keeping these things that makes me righteous. I have to do these. If I don't do these, I don't feel good about myself. And I don't feel good about myself, I know God doesn't feel good about me. So we try to keep the law. And then when we blow it, we throw out there that, well, Jesus somehow saves me from this or forgives me from it. But instead of trusting in His sacrifice and the salvation that's had in Him, we go right back to the law again. Now here's the other side of that coin that's not very good either. People that maybe have a grasp on this or understanding of this, this is what they say. Well, if all I have to do is trust in Jesus and I don't have to follow the law, then I can just live like I want to, and then Christ's sacrifice just pays for it all. So I can just live as if there is no law, and I can do whatever I want. Every sinful desire, every sinful thing I want to do, because Christ will forgive me for it. So that's the other side of the coin. In fact, Paul addresses that in the Scriptures when he says, if God's grace is more and more because of His forgiveness for me, then why not just sin more and more so God's grace is more and more? Wouldn't that be a good thing? And he answers his own question and says, it's ridiculous. Of course not. So here's the crux. You can try and live by the law, and if you try to live by the law, listen carefully, you will be judged by the law. You'll be condemned by the thing that you trust in. So you have to choose if you can maintain the law, perfection. If you can't, like me, you're going to need to trust in Christ. Christ says He's the light of the world. He's the fulfillment of the law. He says, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. In other words, separation from God. The breaking of the law. Because you will have the light that leads to life, eternal life. When we come to faith in Christ, something happens to us. There's a transformation that takes place. And it's a process that is instantaneous, but it's also a process that takes time as well. In fact, the theological word for it is sanctification, which is the process of becoming more righteous. When we come to faith in Christ, we die to our old sinful self and we resurrect something new inside us, a new life that follows Christ. And our spirit, our heart, our desire is to follow Christ, to be more like Him today than we were yesterday, to be more like Him tomorrow than we are today. It's a growth process, and it's something that changes within us. So when you come to faith in Christ, truly, in other words, your heart changes, that's what starts to happen in your life. Jesus condemned the religious rulers of the day because they kept saying, we keep the law, all 614 of them. But it was the Sermon on the Mount where He started to reveal that it's not about keeping a list of items, but it's about your heart condition. In fact, when He was talking about the religious rulers, first of all, He always called them a brood of vipers. It made Him real popular with them, publicly, that is. And then He started to talk about how their lives are like a cup. And it's clean on the outside, because they're on the outside, it's like we're doing everything we're supposed to, keeping all the laws. But He said, on the inside, your cup is disgusting. It's dirty. In other words, our hearts were in a bad place. When we come to faith in Christ, a transformation happens to us from the inside. And it takes a while for the outside of our cup to look clean. But we do good things and good deeds and good actions, and we change behaviors, not because those things save us, but because we've been changed as a result of Christ. So once we come to faith in Christ, our life starts to change. And we're keeping things that look like a law to someone over here, but they're not our law. They're just a result of our faith in Christ and us living for Christ. But we don't trust in those things to save us. If we trust in them, then we're back in the law. Does that make sense? I can do something in faith in Christ, and I can do something trying to live by the law. And on the outside, it may look the same, but my heart will look different. For example, I can believe that one of the requirements of the law is that I serve other people. And so an opportunity may come up for us to serve at the Union Gospel Mission or to the St. Francis House to serve a meal. And so I would say the law says, you must go serve, and I feel guilty if I don't. So even though in my heart I don't want to, I sign up in the back and I show up. And when I get there, I put a smile on my face because I know what it's supposed to look like. I serve the food. I ask them if they want seconds. I clean up. I shake everyone's hand that I'm there with. But in my heart, I don't want to be there. In my heart, these people are dirty. In my heart, I'm better than them. In my heart, I don't want to be with the people that are there. In my heart, I'd rather be watching House. But on the outside, the work gets done and looks the same. For the person who's trusted Christ, an opportunity comes to serve, and they say, I want to serve because Christ has served me. I want to serve because God loves me and He loves others. I want to serve because God has given me an opportunity and I'm to be His hands and feet in the world, and I want to be that light to the world. And so you sign up. And when you get there, you serve people because God loves them. You're with other people there and you see them as partners in ministry with you. You're there thinking, you know, there may be other things that I would enjoy doing, but I'm here because I want to be here because of what Christ has done in my life. And so from the outside, it looks the same, but the heart condition is such a difference. With Christ being the light of the world, that's the way we're supposed to live. Not the way of the law. Not the way that condemns. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. It's my prayer that you find that light that leads to life. And to walk away from the bondage of the law. It's not going to save you. Keeping your list will not make you okay in God's eyes. The only thing that will is faith in Christ. And once you have faith in Christ, you then will become more like Christ. And your life will change and transform. That process of sanctification will take place. But in the law, every day, you'll feel guilt and condemnation. And the worst of it all is it won't save you. Our responsibility is to walk in the light of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. And Lord, though we know that we don't deserve your love, we are thankful that it's there. And I pray, Lord, that we take that light that you have put in us and that we share it with the world around us, that they will see you and your truth through our own lives. Lord, we fall so short. We miss the mark so many times. Help us to be more like you today than we were yesterday. Help us to be more like you tomorrow than we are today. Help us be changed and transformed. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your love for the world. Help us to live out that love. And all God's people said, amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming today. If you're heading over to the Pizza Ranch, we'll see